Welcome back to the Back to the Good Life podcast. My name is Nikki.
And my name's Mr. G.
And for this week, we are going to be talking about all things locally sourced, be that locally sourced food, locally sourced drink, locally sourced music, crafts, handmade things, businesses, everything that we can possibly do to be locally sourced.
And support them as well. I mean, in this dire time of need, it really is quite an important effort to be able to get everybody to support their local trade.
It is as well. Especially, I've noticed that since we went into lockdown, like one of the first lockdowns, that the local businesses are really having a difficulty kind of struggling and keeping up. And the innovative ways they found to kind of connect with the community. I think also sometimes the way I don't want to be one of those people that moans about big companies, but like some of the bigger companies that really kind of took the mick a little bit.
Well, they're able to
lockdown
brand themselves or just be able to disperse people knowing that they're able to recruit more at the end of a dire need for when people were at their most at the most vulnerable.
Yeah, I think for me, trying to support local businesses like that means actually supporting your local community. And I think that's important, as well as obviously the greener aspect of less food miles, less travelled miles.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree with you there. It's important to be able to try and source as much as you can on your local area. And the businesses really are needing the help. I mean, farmers markets and local farm shops, as an example, have been struggling quite a lot. I'm sure there's been a little bit more of an uptake in the past few months, year or so.
See that. Like, there's been, I know with like conversations I've had with people, they're definitely looking towards going to more local farmers markets and bits and pieces. The problem we have is some of our local farmers markets are on during times where we're both at work, but we're doing a better job now at either finding ones that we can go to or communicating with others and going, right, we can't get there on like Thursday afternoon. Here's a list. Can you get them for us? Yeah. So I think that kind of works.
Yeah, and you say it's, again, the less food miles that we have, it's better. And to be honest, let's get down to the bare roots of it. The food tastes a lot nicer as well.
Oh my God, yes. Carrots that are like still muddy, go and wash them off and they like smell carroty. I know it sounds like a ridiculous thing to say. Obviously it's a carrot, it smells carroty. But like,
I know that we use some of our other outlets for it.
Mm.
But it's important. I find it very important that we choose to try and support these things and have it ends up being a more local seasonal variety as well.
Definitely. There was another thing that I think we don't realise is that how like one tiny thing affects something. So we're trying to look for like locally sourced food, which I think is as important as we could possibly get. But our odd box that we get isn't all local because it's all rescued veg. And we got spring onions last week, and they said in there that we got the spring onions, and I think they're from Egypt, which you think to yourself, oh, I don't really want to get them from the food mart.
Not quite locally, but
the thing was, there was a storm. There was something like there was a storm, which meant that they were either late or too early or something happened where there was basically too many. And it was either they collect them and give them out to people in their boxes, or they'd go to waste. So at that point, you just think to yourself, okay, in that case, I'll trade the food miles to actually stop the food waste, which is a weird thing to kind of think about, isn't it?
There is a slight balance when it comes to it. I mean, we can't, especially with the economic climate, we can't really pick and choose. We can do our best. And doing your best is what we're hoping for at the end of it. I mean, as it comes to us ourselves being more self-sufficient, being able to provide ourselves.
I think it'd be really local if we can grow them ourselves, as in literally 4 feet
on our doorstep,
out the door, in our small garden, all 3 meters away to the end of the garden.
But I mean, you start from the inner radius and you work yourself out.
Mm.
I mean, and as you say, to be able to save something that's would essentially go to waste is better than trying to justify saying, no, this, we aren't going to take this.
Yeah, I think you've got to like pick your morals as you do them. And I think it's almost short-sighted of us to think we're always going to have the answer, as in we only buy things within a 10-mile radius of our house. It's like, that's a bit daft if it means that, as I said, loads of stuff is going to go to waste. But if we can figure out how to buy kind of most or buy or acquire, you know, like grow, whatever, most of our stuff as close as possible, but then we can then use our actual buy-in power to decide, right, what are we actually going to support? Because like that place, the place in Egypt that had the storms or whatever it was that meant there was too many, you can then actually go, okay, if I get most of my stuff locally, then occasionally rescuing something that's going to go to waste otherwise, or supporting something further afield.
We're just minimising our impacts, really, aren't we?
Yeah, I hope so. That's kind of the main thing for me, is minimising. Also, there's a flip side to that of supporting local people, local economy and local businesses as well. Yeah. I think that's hopefully what shopping more local for us will mean.
I mean, yeah, again, we're going back to this lockdown side of things, but there was a massive uptake of local farmers, and I'm sure it's not just in our area, it's worldwide as well, of saying, how can we adjust to what the current circumstances and situation is?
Mm-hmm.
And we have dairy farmers in our local area that are selling milk as a through automated systems.
Bring it yourself milk bottle.
Yeah, thingies. And I know you'd love that because it being technology.
Absolutely, I loved it. Yeah,
I'd rather try and milk the cow myself.
Well, one day, my love, if we get a cow, that can be your job. You heard it here first, folks. He's just said that we get a cow, milking is going to be his job. Fantastic.
I've nominated myself, I suppose.
Does that stretch to goats?
We could give it a goat, I suppose.
Just said. Just give it a goat. Oh my gosh. I can't believe you said that. But no, there is, I think, a much better resurgence of people trying to figure out how to do it. I know when we did go through the lockdown, there was, you've just reminded me talking about milk, there was a local dairy nearby where we live that basically its job was generally to supply like chain restaurants like Starbucks and stuff like that. I don't know if Starbucks was, but it was that kind of coffee place for milk. So of course they didn't have any custom because they were all closed. So they were saying, you know, bring your bottles, receptacles, whatever, and we'll charge you per the litre. And people were going, and it was great because it was a case of like a few days before, they'd shown a video of them literally having to pour the water down pour the milk down the drain.
There was massive wastage.
Yeah, but it was nice that they kind of had that innovation and that people really supported it. I mean, like, there was queues for like a good old hour or so to go and get bottles of milk, and it was just like, that's so great. It's people supporting their community. I mean, it was done in a safe, like, distanced way and all the rest of it. But everything, it was nice to be able to see that. Yeah, everything had to be. It was nice to be able to see that, though.
Yeah, indeed, indeed.
Another thing that has really struck me is I've been trying to get in touch with or trying to get involved in some more of the local garden communities on my quest for an allotment. I figure that if I'm known by all of them, they'll be like, yeah, she can have an allotment.
But when anyway, aren't you trying to?
What, trying to get my allotment?
Yeah.
I've been trying for years. I'm going to keep on my quest. But no, jokes aside, but I've been getting in touch with some of the more of the local gardening communities, because also we have a tiny garden and we've got to try and make the most out of it. So it's like, how do you guys grow this thing to be as good as possible? Because we can't we can't risk the space, you know. But in doing that, we find other local stuff, like the allotment shops that sell all the surplus veg. You've got people that sell honey and free-range eggs. Free-range eggs are so much nicer. Like, free-range shop-bought eggs are fine, but, like, free-range literally out of someone's back garden, really nice. But you still have to leave the ones that you want to boil for a bit longer.
You do. Apparently, it's a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Couple of 3 weeks or something to be able to make a good boiled egg.
That's actually the downside of having backyard chickens, is that sometimes your eggs are too fresh for boiled eggs.
You have so much of a surplus out there, you can't.
No, the eggs are too fresh. So if you boil an egg that is, I think it's about 2 weeks is the good spot. But if you boil an egg that's like a couple of days old, it does a really bad job at boil. It makes a great scrambled egg because the white all stays in the frying pan.
You kind of took the words out of my mouth then. I was going to tell the people, scramble your fresh eggs and wait for your boiled ones if you want. But she's already said it for me.
That's because we're on the same wavelength. But no, with all jokes aside, getting hold of some fresh eggs they taste great, and they're normally pretty cheap as well. I can't remember how much we were paying back home, but that was really cheap. And we actually got our point of lay chickens from that farmer as well. Really cool. So you just nip down there on Saturday morning to pick up a couple of dozen eggs. And the only problem with this, obviously, they still have poo on them sometimes, poo and feathers.
Well, that's what you get when you're not eating the go shell, for nature. And
definitely getting back to the good life at that point.
Yeah, indeed.
But my thing I would really like to do, and I need to ask our friend that lives on the other side of town, you know who I'm talking about, the author.
Yeah.
No. Tomzo, the author. So we need to ask her because she knows where all the local honey is.
I was going to bring us to, actually.
I jumped in there.
Stealing all my subjects.
Stealing your ideas. I'll be quiet.
local honey is, again, quite a big thing around here.
Mm.
It's and it is extremely good for hay fever. Sorry
about that. You've got hay fever today.
if you do suffer with hay fever, apparently one of the better remedies is to have local honey, because mm-hmm.
local honey and fresh flowers in the house.
Fresh flowers?
I don't know about local ones. I'd assume so, but I know having fresh flowers around helps to build an immunity.
Ah.
It doesn't work all the time because I have hay fever.
Yeah, well, apparently local honey is supposed to be one of the mainstays of being able to fend off as such hay fever, because it's
got all the local pollen.
Pollen in it, and you're building yourself an immunity to it.
I think so, yeah. Just as an aside though, do you know where you get the best tasting honey, especially here in the UK?
Nah, you've got me intrigued. Go on.
Cities.
Now I've heard this.
Yeah. So there was a lad that I saw, but I think it was on River Cottage or something a few years ago, and he did Hackney honey. So they had flat roofs and they put beehives on the flat roofs. And then, of course, because there's all the different trees and then people grow window boxes, they have all those different flowers and stuff, the bees get pollen and bits and pieces from everywhere. And apparently this honey tastes really, really good, slightly nicer than country honey.
Oh, right. Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, although my uncle's honey from Yorkshire was delicious.
Well, I've been down to the southwest coast of England, and that really does have some quite nice local honey.
Like Cornwall.
Like Cornwall. I wasn't going to say the areas, but
Cornwall. Yeah,
Cornwall has some really quite good selections of honeys, to be honest.
We'll have to take a trip when we go on. Holiday. It's not that far from us anyway.
No. But local to your area is really good to try and source.
Mm-hmm.
Just for taste, let alone any medicinal properties it has.
Honey's supposed to be, there's not a whole podcast about honey, but honey's supposed to be amazing medicinally. I mean, like everyone says about Manuka honey, which is obviously really good. You get medical grade Manuka honey.
Yes, you do, yeah.
But they, I can't remember what, I was reading it the other day because I was writing some content about healthcare, and a spoonful of honey can work just as well, if not better, than some over-the-counter cough syrups. I'm not a medical doctor, so that's not a recommendation.
So does that mean that Mary Poppins was wrong all the time?
Hers was a spoonful of sugar, so...
Yeah. I mean...
And hers tasted like rum punch as well. She wasn't wrong.
Yeah, so let's get off of that subject.
Let's get off of honey then. Otherwise, we'll go straight on to mead, because that's definitely honey-based. We should find some local mead, though. But that is a podcast for another day, I think.
Yeah, I think maybe. And we could take up hours for that.
Oh, yes. Many, many hours.
So, on the idea of locally sourced things, I mean, we should really speak about the butchers that we have.
Oh, that butcher's... Yeah, that is a very good butcher.
I was just thinking generally.
Oh, there was
butchers.
One specifically I was thinking of.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm taking it.
Same place, same town as the farmer's market.
It's quite good. I say quite good, but it is good to be able to taste your locally grown meats.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them are really... quite well-bred animals. I say quite well-bred. They've all got to have a standard. But, I mean, there are special breeds that are
mm-hmm.
grown. And, blimey, good meat.
Good nice meat. Nice taste of stuff. My favourite, especially in the local butchers, the same town that I'm thinking, the farmer's market that we've been thinking about, they do lots of local game. So you can get rabbits and pigeons and venison. It's like stuff you just don't find in a supermarket. I mean, I don't have anything against people getting food from supermarkets, because that's life is what you do.
Yes, yeah,
but,
indeed.
Oh, if you've tried my rabbit pie. My roasted rabbit with honey and rosemary. I'm going back to honey again. Honey and rosemary. That is delicious. You will love that.
I'm missing out on a trick here.
There was a local farm when I lived back at Mum and Dad's, there was a local forest, and we had a haunch of venison for Christmas. That was nice. Roasted with juniper berries and red wine.
I'm hoping it was legally caught.
No, it was like properly sold from the gamekeepers at the thing. It wasn't like poached venison. poached venison.
Just out there.
Just put it out there.
Not supposed to be a good thing.
You know, we don't support poaching. But no, rabbit's one of my favourites anyway. My pigeon pie is legendary. I haven't cooked you enough game, have I?
No.
We need to find these things and cook you lots of game. But I don't mind.
Well, we know
like
where
that,
it
though.
Is. We know the local butchers.
Well, if we should go down there at some point. But no, I think we should be more open, generally as a society, to eating stuff like that, because people worry about the welfare standards that our meat is grown in, and that is a legitimate worry. It's why we only buy British pork.
It's why we
only get RSPCA and free-range chicken, because it's kind of like you go in with your own minimum, and you're aware that it's as good as you can get. But with like game meat, that animal's had their best life. They've just been like running around doing their thing before they get very humanely dispatched.
Dispatching is the key word to this.
But these people are professionals.
They're
not going out like in the hole, you know. Jolly shooting parties. It's not that kind of thing. I've known a few gamekeepers, and any time they've gone out to do like the culling and the dispatching, it's not as much as there's the pleasure of going, that was a good shot and like it was very clean. No one's like happy and jolly to go out and do it.
I understand that.
Enjoying it, as it were.
I have a few gamekeeper friends myself, and yeah, there is an absolute respect to the animal.
I think that's definitely something that needs to be talked about a lot more. Like, there's that assumption that if you're killing an animal for food, that those people enjoy it. It's like, it's not an enjoyment. Like, no one enjoys taking a life, but you can take pleasure in the fact that you've done it well and it was clean and it was well done. And that animal's had a great life.
It brings us back to the good life as well, because...
Oh, slide that in there. Liked it. Nice.
Well, as children, we always had table rabbits that we bred.
Oh, your mum was telling me about them.
And we were always told never give them names because they will end up on your plate one day.
Oh, Fluffy and Thumper and all the rest of it.
No. If you're going to go like that down that route, it's going to be Watership Down, surely.
Oh, let's not go there. Moving swiftly on.
But no, I think it's important that we should incorporate what it comes naturally to us. I mean, we are omnivores. We eat meat and vegetables. Yeah. And game is a lot healthier.
Yeah, you have to be careful with game. Some of the game, it doesn't provide as many nutrients as like beef does. No,
but this is why we have a dairy diet.
Yeah, you can't actually starve eating just rabbit. It's quite scary.
Yeah,
it takes
more calories to digest vegetables
in it. Yeah.
But yeah, say it's more of a natural meat for us. So, and it's not widely incorporated into our everyday living now.
No, it isn't. Mind you, I did try once some venison. There was a butcher's down near my mum and dad's that did their own venison burgers. So they'd make them up. Oh, I love them. Absolutely delicious. And then we found some in, I won't call it out because that's mean, but a big supermarket. One of the big fours. We found venison burgers, tried them, and they tasted nothing like it. It was just like, if you hadn't, that's the thing, if you hadn't known it was venison, it would have been like, oh, it's slightly different tasting beef burgers, but didn't taste anything like the butcher's venison burgers. I think that's really something I really like, kind of going, oh, it's different types and different tastes.
And the tastes are very important when it comes to...
Absolutely.
Comes to a palate.
Absolutely. You've got to start with good ingredients. So I think the only thing we probably haven't covered, because we've covered a lot of food, we always cover a lot of food on this podcast, and it always makes me hungry. And we're doing this after dinner this time, and I'm hungry again.
We are very much foodie people.
Yeah, we are. But no, one of the things I did want to talk about with locally sourced things, which is not food, is locally sourced, like, handmade goods and local businesses. I think we should make a pledge now to try and find as many local businesses or artisan stuff. Like, for example, the chap making our wedding rings, because we get married soon. But the chap making our wedding rings, he is an artisan that has been doing it for years. And I've known him for years, so it's kind of going to him was first on my mind, if anything. But it means that we're getting something really unique that we really want, rather than something that we can just kind of pick up.
A little bit bespoke.
Bespoke?
Bespoke. Bespoke.
Bespoke.
Bespoke. Bespoke. Depending on how the West Country here, yeah, I mean.
Oh, yeah, I'm a little West Country bumpkin, aren't you?
So. But yeah, the bespoke stuff by in your local areas.
Yeah, but it means that we get something that, because we're having a particular stone that is kind of local to here, sort of, but it's definitely not one that people normally have in any rings whatsoever, but no. It's kind of very special to us, so we have the opportunity to put it in our rings. And just because we're talking to a local artisan, yeah, it's going to cost us a bit more money, but no one else is going to have it.
No, I completely understand our reasonings, your reason for having it.
Makes it sound like, but I've made all the decisions for this wedding. He did ask me. I didn't pressure him into it. I thought I'd point that out.
Are you sure?
Get on with it, you.
Yeah, no, so locally sourced, let's say, gifts and...
People need to normalise giving handmade local gifts. Like our friend who sent us blueberry bushes for our engagement party.
Yeah.
That's got to be an amazing gift. Yeah. So happy about that.
I'm waiting for them to do their little bit of blueberry giving this year, hopefully.
I hope so. We'll be documenting it on our Instagram page. You'll be seeing pictures of blueberries if we get any, or, you know, three that are going to grow this year.
We do have another outlet to be able to post if we don't.
Yeah,
I mean,
are you talking about our YouTube channel that we haven't started yet?
No, I'm talking about the...
Facebook group that we're not going to mention the name of it. Our other
outlet. It's Poor Harvests, if we're going to use it as a a kind of family terminology. But yeah,
it's a good Facebook group, that one. But no, it is fun. But
so I suppose what we're trying to say throughout this this podcast is to try and remind people that your locally sourced things aren't just on your doorstep.
Yeah.
And
you'd be amazed as well. Like, we've been amazed by what's around us. And we don't even live somewhere that's that rural. I mean, very lucky in the fact that we're kind of almost half and half. Yeah, but we're also on the doorstep of a town and some big cities. So it's kind of like we're right in the middle. So, but like, actually nearby, it's really, we've got quite a lot of stuff nearby. And I think that's the same for other people, especially for people in cities. Stuff like, you know, city honey and city allotments.
But try and support your locals as far as you can. I mean, it's not always easy, and it just helps a little bit more for the environment and for your local businesses that are most likely struggling at this point in time.
Absolutely.
I mean,
so I think that is pretty much all we had written down to talk about, unless you've got anything else you'd like to share with our lovely viewers and listeners.
Well,
you can actually view this podcast on YouTube as well, which will come as no shock to the people that are watching it on YouTube.
On the tube of the U.
But now we have this podcast is on our YouTube channel as well. Back to the Good Life podcast, it's called, on YouTube. Search for it, you'll find it. And then if you are watching it on YouTube, you can listen to the podcast on any of your favourite podcast channels, like Spotify, like, Apple Podcasts.
Please subscribe.
Subscribing would be great. Yeah. That would be really good.
Yeah,
we'd like that.
We're still fairly new to this. I mean, a few in, but
we're working on it. I think we're getting a little bit better, maybe. Possibly.
Fingers crossed.
We'll see.
But for now, I suppose it's goodbye from me, Mr. G.
And goodbye from me, Nikki. See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.